Oh, you hear that song? You know it can only be time for one thing, and that means it's time for Sales Sport Talk here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Sales Sport Talk and SalesSportTalk.com. And I'm going to pass things off here to our host today, Patty Mangan. Patty, how you doing?
Great, Dominic. Thank you so much for setting us up.
My pleasure.
Good morning, everyone. And this is Patty, and I'm introducing Yoshan. She is a sailor and a clairvoyant and a perfumer. Hi, Yosh.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. We were just talking before the show about sailing and getting into it and how there are so many interesting and wonderful people. And adjusting. And we were just talking about how there's actually wonderful characters in the sailing world and a wonderful community in the sailing world. So let's talk about the community that you found.
Well, when I started to learn how to sail, I was a landlubber who didn't know anything about sailing, and I was just one of those people who would go to the beach and look longingly or at the marina like, who are these people who have boats? And now that I've, you know, been in it, they're regular people, but some are superstars. And then that journey from being a landlubber to U.S. Coast Guard captain, every segment and every step of the way, it's almost like new sets of characters depending on your, you know, kind of pay grade and also your level. Because when you're a beginner, you're kind of with either old salty dogs who want to, quote unquote, show you the ropes.
Right.
And then it's kind of a circus because you're just thrown in and it's literally sink or swim. And then as you get into it more, you meet the cruisers who have, you know, found a way to get off grid and they're living their life on the boat and sailing around the world.
Right.
Then you have your day cruisers who, you know, they just sail in their home port. Then you have your racers, you know, some that are gentlemen sportsmen who are often the boat owners.
Yes.
Very competitive. Mm. Doesn't mean that they're not competitive. Mm-hmm. It just means they have a lot of leisure time and nice boats. And then you have the crew who are jockeying for the top spots on the race boats. Then you have the semi-pros, people who sometimes get paid to go sailing. And then you have the actual pros who are, you know, world renowned, who, you know, it's amazing because it's the kind of sport that you can meet the pros with newbies sometimes on the same boat. Then you have everybody in between. You do have, you know, all kinds of stereotypes, characters, sometimes often people who overstate their skill set, and then you get on a boat and you kind of get into that danger zone where you're like, who is this clown on a boat? And everybody in between. And then you start sailing internationally and you take these archetypes, multiply it with cultural, you know, nuances. And
right.
Then it's really fun, actually.
I think we should set the visual for our listeners in terms of your sailing. You've got 20,000 nautical miles under your belt.
Yeah, a bit more now because I did an amazing Polynesian trip, which, you know, I added about another 8,000.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. And so why don't you tell our listeners what you've done in terms of distance?
Sure. Well, when I was first learning, I did mostly day sails. And then early on, I found this magazine in the Bay Area called Latitude 38, and there's a crew list. So that was one hot tip that I did get, is get yourself on crew list. I didn't really know what that meant, but I found every avenue possible, international crew lists, free crew lists. But, you know, Latitude 38 is a great crew list because it's local and you kind of have this standard by which people know the community.
Right.
So
here in the Bay Area.
Here in the Bay Area, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because I had gone on a catamaran charter with an ex-boyfriend of mine, and I met the captain and his girlfriend who told me that you could hitchhike around the world by boat. And I was like, what the heck? I want to do that. So I kind of knew that this community existed, and I knew the ticket was get yourself on crew lists, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
Part of that crew list is you have delivery captains who want to have people to help them take the boat from point A to point B. Oftentimes, the captains are super qualified and very capable and can probably do it by themselves. So it's not necessarily a requirement that you know how to sail, but you have to stay awake, you can't get seasick, and you have to have a good attitude. Well, And then if you could cook and clean, that'd be great. So since I didn't know how to sail, I could do all the other things, right? Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of coastal deliveries, and then I did some longer deliveries simply by putting myself on crew lists.
Now, did you do the Transpac?
After that, right.
Okay.
So then I started doing, you know, short coastal deliveries, California. Then I did...
I love this.
Yeah. And then somehow I found... through one of the crew sites, I think Find a Crew, somebody invited me to Panama. And I thought, oh my gosh, how fun. I want to go there. And so I, you know, these are complete strangers, right? It's almost like a dating app, but it's a crew list.
Right.
So I went to Panama. I did have kind of a sinking feeling about the couple with the catamaran because everything looked like a disaster. But since I didn't know anything about sailing, I thought, oh, this is how it normally is. Well, I met some professional crew who were, you know, serious sailors who had their documentation, their certifications, and they said, you know, I would really wonder about your safety on that boat. Well, unbeknownst to me, that catamaran hadn't really been sailing. It was mostly a motor condo, floating condo in the area, and it was haphazard. So we left, but... you know, some mechanical issues. I got off the boat.
Yeah.
And then they're like, listen, if you really want to get into sailing, get yourself the STCW, get some certifications and get paid to do your miles. And so I thought, oh my gosh, these people are spending their time telling me how I should do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So that put a, you know, thought in my head. And then on that same trip, I stepped off, which is kind of hard because you really want to do this trip. It's free. It's kind of an experience and it's a vacation in a way. But the first hard lesson is safety first, right?
And you stepped off?
I stepped off this boat because I didn't know how to explain why I had a sinking feeling.
Yeah.
But in the end, I realized it's...
pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. Now looking back, I realized there were so many mechanical issues. And so now I realize... before I step on a boat, I want to know all the specs. I want to know the captain's experience. And honestly, when I didn't know anything, a captain might say to me, do you want to go downstairs and see my engine? And I thought that was code for, do you want to go and, you know, hanky-panky downstairs? And I was like, no, I do not want to see your engine. But now that I know how to sail, if a captain does not want to show me his engine,
that's
because that's a clue that something is not right with the boat.
Right.
So funny things like that. So on that trip, I ended up jumping ship, which is another term I didn't know about. So I jumped ship, got on a different catamaran, and was able to do the Panama Canal, which is on a lot of sailors' bucket list.
Okay.
So that was like really eye-opening. I spent, you know, a week in the marina meeting all kinds of people who were from all over the world, sailing, doing all kinds of things. And so that was really my entryway into this whole world of sailing and professional marinership and you know, professional captaining. And, you know, I really didn't know anything. It just all seemed great.
But I think that based on reading about you, getting to know you a little bit, you take on a challenge. And not a lot of people go as far as you've gone in terms of not only distance, but getting your captain's license. And also kind of learning about people and who you really want to be on a boat with,
That's right.
Risk your life with.
That's it. Because when you're a newbie, you don't realize how dangerous it can be. It all seems like an adventure, including, you know, you're stepping on a boat sometimes offshore with complete strangers who you don't know their eating, sleeping, psychology, emotional strengths or not. You know, some people go a little cuckoo offshore, or, you know, some people really are... I don't drink. We don't drink, you know, underway. We only drink, you know, when the hook's down or in the marina. But some people drink beer for breakfast, you know, offshore. And that's something that, you know, you learn along the way and you really learn to set your boundaries. Because definitely as a woman sailor and also a person of color, there aren't that many people who look like me. Or if you're sailing often in the developing country, they're the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I think partly because when you don't know how to sail as a woman, you're relegated to the galley, right? And so after some trips, I did the Baja Haha, which is a great cruise from, you know, some people start in the Bay Area, then they go down to San Diego, and then they meet upwards hundreds of boats.
Hundreds
of sailors, and you go all the way down to Cabo up to La Paz. And so I did that a few times, luckily with great owners and you know, met a lot of people that way. And luckily for me, I met captains who were above board, literally, and who were kind and generous, who kind of literally showed me the ropes. And I think you really have to learn how to sniff out literally the rats who you kind of know. You have this uneasy feeling about them, and then you don't want to sail with them. And in the beginning, you're just like, I want to get on a boat. And you kind of override those suspicions. But in the end, every time I had a stinking suspicion, it always ended up in some kind of, not catastrophe, but some kind of calamity, right?
Right.
And then in the end, you
I'm
know.
I'm thinking of my own calamity.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sure you have some stories,
oh,
too.
You're taking me back to, you know, when you're trusting and you find yourself in situations. I've been in a couple of situations that now I look back at that and go, how did I put myself in that position? But you trust people.
Definitely. And you trust people when you're about to go on an offshore journey. So yeah. I really love that part of sailing. And, you know, going offshore, meaning, you know, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles offshore. So one of my first big trips was sailing double-handed to Hawaii with an ex-military captain who was amazing. And it was a small 30-foot Ericsson. And we left
30 feet.
Yeah. Camp Pendleton, his neighbor military friends sent us off. And it was amazing because suddenly, you know, halfway in, you're like, oh, it's just me and this captain, this older retired guy. And, you know, there's sometimes dicey moments when you're at sea. It's big winds, big waves. And then you realize, even though it is kind of dangerous, you really feel at one with the ocean. You feel at one with nature. You feel at one with, you know, some higher power. And that's what all the sailing is about. And you also recognize, you know, I've been across to Polynesia. I've sailed in the Atlantic going from the Grenada all the way to North Carolina. And you're like, oh, these winds have been around for thousands of years,
right?
And it's the same wind, and other people have sailed these same winds, and you're like, wow, I'm really lucky.
I just want to mention there's this concept that we are all breathing the out breath. We are breathing in all the out breaths of all the people before us.
That's amazing,
right?
Yeah.
Going back thousands of years, and that the winds carry those, and that we all still exist at all times.
That's right. That's right. And I hope that more women get into the sailing because it's a technical sport. I find lots of engineers, lots of, you know, similar archetypes. And then women tend to be intuitive sailors. Not that men can't be, but it's just an interesting way to sail.
Okay. All right. And with that, we have to hit break. My thanks to Patty and our guest, Yosh Han, here on Sail Sport Talk. If you want more info or some photos, you can go to sailsporttalk.com for more info. Patty, Yosh, thank you so much.